I am Edie Swift, and I'm interviewing Jim Powell at his home in Helensburgh. We will be talking about Jim's memories of Helensburgh. From 1945 to the present, the oral history will go to the local studies library at Wollongong Library. So would you like to start talking about your memories of Helensburgh? You were born here in 1945.
Edie, yes, I was born here on the 8th of April 1945, where the swimming pool is today. There's a place opposite owned by the optometrist, and that was originally Croftside Maternity Home, and that's where I was born. The place is still there today. I was at that stage, my parents had come to live in Helensburgh. My mother already lived in Helensburgh before she was married. She came out with her parents in 1928. Her name was Rona Foles, right? And she married James Walter Powell in 1942. So she came out in 1928 with her parents, Sarah and Jack Foles, and her brother John. Her father worked in the mine down here with his brother and brother-in-law, and they lived and they had property up on Blue Gum, which is the old Princess Highway, just south of Helensburgh here, near Binner's poultry farm. And they had property there. Apart from working in the mine, he also grew vegetables, flowers, fruit trees, etc., because my grandmother was a florist. So they had that business of the floristry as a supplement to their wage, and during the Depression, it was very handy for them to be able to supplement their income, which was minute in those days. With the Depression, they weren't getting the hours that they normally would get down the mine. And at one stage, he actually went and worked carting sand for the Warrenora Dam, to build the Warrenora Dam during the Depression. So they came out there, and my mother went to school here, and through primary school, she then went to St George Girls High School, and she ended up doing at the Teachers College, a diploma for teaching, and then she came out of that in 1940, and her first job in those days, you couldn't work in the metropolitan area, you had to do what was called country service. So you didn't have to pay to be tutored as a teacher. And she went to Junee. And from Junee, that's where she met my father, Wally Powell, and they moved back to Helensburgh after she'd done a 2 years training of country service. And the first job she had here when she moved back, and they were married in 42, was the Croker Island children who were evacuated from the islands off northern New Guinea, virtually just off Darwin. And they came down by road, by rail, by truck, by whatever that means they could. Mothers and children evacuated from the island. They were all Aboriginal children or half-caste Aboriginal children. And they eventually, after a long journey, got themselves to Otford, where they were in the camp at Otford School. And my mother was their teacher, the infants teacher. There was only two teachers at the school. The headmaster was Mr. Greentree. And he taught the senior children, and my mother taught the infants. The senior children from the Croker Islands actually went to Scarborough School, so it was only the infants that were there. And I've got lots of old photos of my mother with the children, the Aboriginal children at that stage, who were at the camp. They used to milk the cows, grow their own vegetables. Everything was self-sufficient in those days. And she often, of a weekend, would take the children into Sydney to the Taronga Zoo or to Luna Park, etc. So that was the start of my life, and I was born in 1945. I'm one of the few children, I think probably only about 1% of the total population. My mother was a teacher at this school down here in primary school. But from the day I started kindergarten in 1950 till the day I finished sixth class in 1956, I attended every day of school. I never missed one day of school in those 7 years. I was always in the top three in that class, along with Paul Tyne and Sandra Aglin, always between the three of us. And then I went on to high school.
And what was your father doing at this time?
My father was a carpenter. Hmm. Originally, he worked on the railways, and then when the war was over, he was a signalman in the signal corps in the army, and he got a job with the PMG making the telephone cabinets, the old red telephone cabinets you see everywhere. That was his job, and then later on, he started building homes and things like that. But initially, that's what he was. He was a cabinet maker, and he used to travel from Helensburgh into Sydenham to make the telephone boxes. And my mum, as I said, was a school teacher, And all those years when I was in school, at 9 years of age, I joined the Helensburgh Band and learned to play the cornet and the band. I was there for 15 years. I played with the Helensburgh Band, trumpet and cornet, tenor phone. And then all that time as well, I was playing soccer from the age of 8 and ended up representing Illawarra as soccer from 12, under 12s, under 14s, under 16s. And then later on, under 21s in the senior group of soccer players. So,
how has Helensburgh changed?
Well, I can go back to, you know, just memories of what my mother was saying. When they first arrived here in 1928, the first thing they saw when they moved up to the house that their grandfather had built was to see a bullock team come past with big logs on heading for Bulleye. Eight bullocks pulling these great big wagons with logs on them. And that highway was dirt in those days. It was virtually just a road, a dirt road. It wasn't bitumen. That was done during the war. They started to bitumen all the highways to make it easier to move big vehicles. So that was right back then. But it's changed dramatically since I was even born, because when I was born, the only bitumen started at the old Princess Highway where the Ampol Garage was, all the way down to the hotel on the corner of Walker Street and Park Street here. And it finished there. It was dirt all the way down to the railway station. It went along the main street to the bottom bus shed near Whitty Road, and that was the only tar. The rest was all sandstone gutters. They were made out of sandstone, and they were dirt. And then slowly it changed. In 1951, we got a local water supply. Before, we were all on tank water. Electricity was supplied by the coal mine in those days for Helensburgh, Garrawarra Hospital North, down to Coalcliffe in the south, was all supplied by the Helensburgh Metropolitan Colliery. And once a month on a Sunday, it'd be off the air for 4 hours whilst they did maintenance to the electrical power station at the mine. So it used to have power off for 4 hours once a month. When the water was laid on, it started in 51. It took till 1953 before it was completely done with reticulated water throughout the town. There was a big celebration in the town for the opening of the water supply, a big parade, and I've got photos of that in the Historical Society of the opening of the water supply to Helensburgh. And then later on, the sewage never came to Helensburgh till 1983, so it was quite a few years before sewage came into Helensburgh even since then. So the township itself, the population, it varied considerably, because during the early days, just after 1900s, when everything was done labour-wise as far as the mine went, and you've got to remember that the people in this area were either miners, they were timber cutters, or they worked on the railway. And they were the three occupations that kept, and of course the railway's in transient, they'd move from one to another working, but it was here for a good while, because no sooner did they finish the single track and opened up in 1888 to Metropolitan Colliery and a little bit further south, that they started to duplicate the line, because it was such an awkward, useless line as far as moving stuff, that they started to do it in 1912. So it wasn't a great time from the miners were supplying the coal, and they had to get transport, because before they got the railways, and that's what the railway was put here for. It was to move coal to Sydney. It wasn't done for passengers or anything like that. It was done purely and simply to move coal, because it was too dangerous moving them by ship as they used to. They used to lay jetties at Bulleye and Coalcliffe, and those jetties, many of the colliery vessels floundered, losing lives and coal as well. The weather conditions were too bad in some circumstances. So the alternative was to put in a railway, which they did. Like I said, it opened in 1888, the same year as what the colliery did as far as supplying coal. The town of Helensburgh was 1884 when it was designated as a town, and they were at that stage were drilling the shafts and getting the mine ready for operations. And the first coal for commercial purposes came out of Helensburgh mine in June of 1888, and the first movement by rail was in October that year. So there's a few months of stockpile till they got the railway to open and move on. So, but in those days, because it was all hand-picked, where they would just pick and someone would shovel and load the skip, they worked in pairs, it was highly labour-intensive. So therefore, there was quite a large number of, there was something like 1,200 men worked in the mine at those stages, in those days, on a two-shift basis. virtually 10 hours, and they worked through that day, and they would have these two shifts of these people in the various parts expanding the mine. This mine is the oldest still operating underground mine in Australia. It's continually operated since 1888. It's still going today. In 2013, they were given another 25-year lease from the state government for another 25 years, so it'll still continue at least for another 20 years if there's, you know, money for coal still in those times. But, yeah, so that was back there. So it's the longest continually underground operating mine in Australia. Others, there was early ones, but they've all closed since that, but this one's still going. They've been right under the national park, out to the ocean. They're now out heading southwest, down out the west part. There's two seams. One was excellent steaming coal. The other one was coking coal. And they still operate. Most of it's sent overseas now. Most of it's shipped overseas. It's not used virtually in Australia. A little bit for stainless steel to Newcastle. That's about all. So that's the out of the mine. But the people in those days, like I said, there was a population of nearly 2,000 people then. And when I was born in 1945, there were still only roughly 2,000 people. People had lost lives through the war, moved on, and, you know, things had changed. The mechanical operation, this was the first mine in the Illawarra to be mechanised in 1953. And so they had machinery that in 1953. It was a mechanised mine. And therefore, there was not the number of people needed to actually mine coal with machinery. So it dropped once again down around about 600, even then less to about 300. And it's fluctuated all the time. And I think around now there's about 300 people actually work down the mine today. So that's been the main occupation of Helensburgh has been the mining industry. And as I said before, the railways are also a big industry. A lot of small private investment things like Took Farms and other things, enterprising things like manufactured roller doors. We had a factory here that used to manufacture nuts and bolts and things like that. So there was small manufacturing, but not any large scale. So you either worked on the railways, you worked on the water board, was another big thing, or you worked in the mine, or you were in private enterprise, or you travelled. And a lot of people did travel. I travelled when I first started work. I did a jewellery apprenticeship. I was a jeweller. I did a five-year jewellery apprenticeship. I had to travel into Sydney every day and from the train. But the trains that I would travel on would be packed from people from Helensburgh who all worked in Sydney, around Sydney area, from Sydney right into Sydney. They were all people that travelled. They were in the printing game. They were in all sorts of trades, and they had to go right into town. Some were in banking. So we had a diversity in those days, in the 50s, of people who were travelling to work into Sydney. Very few travelled to Wollongong. It was mostly into the Sydney way. They went that way from Helensburgh. And there were still a few local, you know, retail and things like that was still in Helensburgh. So those days back in the 50s were really good days, because it was a time when this town was quite profitable. The people in here had good jobs and consistent jobs, and, you know, there was plenty of work available for anyone who wanted work. And the advantage of being in Helensburgh, even today, it's still a village. It can never be expanded. We've got all the national park on the eastern side of the railway line. You have all the water catchment area for Warrenora on the other side. So you're surrounded by a green belt all the way, and that can't be interfered with. So it'll always be an isolated, like, village-style hamlet surrounded by greenery. It's a danger with bushfires, of course, but other than that, you've got this nice sort of lifestyle. You're within an hour of Sydney and within half an hour of Wollongong by road. So you've got the best of both worlds. You've got two cities on either side. You've got a coastline, a beautiful coastline with all the beaches and everything you could possibly want. National Park, everything. You've got everything at your fingertips. And for young children, it's a great town to be in, because there's so many activities for children, for everything from horse riding to all types of sports, even BMX riding, motorbike cross, rally cross type work. There's so many things for children to do in these
when
days.
When you were a child and you were growing up, what did you do for recreation here?
Well, see, that was it. We played, apart from playing soccer, which most of the boys played soccer in here, and the girls played either hockey or netball, we used to entertain ourselves. We would go over the big dam. We used to make tin canoes out of a sheet of galvanised iron and a bit of bitumen and seal them up and make canoes out of them and sail them on the big dam. You just wander through the bush. used to have Shanghai fights, you know, trying to hit one another with Shanghai. You think, you know, there'd be half the population be without eyes or whatever. But, you know, those were the days. And everybody just found that there was, you could entertain yourself. There was no television. Virtually the television just started in 1956, when just before the Melbourne Olympics. So until then, you had a radio. You could listen to the cricket and that on the radio. But you were always outside. You know, the only time you were inside was when it was pouring rain and you didn't want to get wet because there was so much to just to wander. And you weren't frightened. You know, those days you could... I used to travel home on the, as a teenager from Sydney on the train at midnight at night. You know, you wouldn't even as adult these days because of, you know, what happens to people these days. So it was a different world in those days. Everyone's back door was open. No one shut locked their houses up in here in Helensburg.